a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, joyful. Would you like to experience more joy in your life and relationships? We're going to show you how to do it. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day. Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to marry. Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life. God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, joyful. We're talking about joy and how to get more of it. Would you like more joy in your life? Who wouldn't, right? Well, let's talk about what's getting in the way of you having more joy in your life or relationships. Whether you're dealing with personal or emotional struggles, relationship problems, really it's wide open. If there's something coming between you and a more joyful life, we want to get it out of the way. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We are kind of taking our cue from this past Laetare Sunday, which, of course, is means rejoice. It comes from the first few words of a traditional Latin entrance verse for the Mass of the day. Rejoice, O Jerusalem. And so we are We're taking that to heart and trying to rejoice a little bit more in this week. And we're going to get the week kicked off with a reflection on what it means to be a little more joyful. So if there's something getting in the way of you feeling that joy in your life or relationships, again, whether that's personal or emotional struggles, relationship problems, different challenges you're facing in your life, we want to help you find grace-filled solutions to all of that and more. 877-573-7825.
Well, I think it's so important to remember that even in the midst of Lent, the Church gives us Laetare Sunday to say we are supposed to be joyful. We are supposed to get joy out of our great hope in God. But God wants us to have that infused into every part of our being. It's not just something where we go to Mass on a Sunday or we set aside that one Sunday in Lent and we say, oh, okay, now we'll think about how God's going to make us joyful. God wants to be part of every moment of our lives, every second of our lives. And when the Church in her wisdom lets us know that, yes, even in a time of Lent, there is a time to focus specifically on rejoicing, on joy. We know that we are supposed to bring that into every facet of our lives, as the Church reminds us of that grace.
Well, and as I mentioned at the very beginning of Lent, really, Lent is supposed to be about joy, because it's about getting all the things that stand between us and God out of the way so that we can experience more of His mercy, more of His love, and more of the joy that comes from being closer to Him. You know, we celebrate Laetare Sunday at this point in Lent because of the sacrifices and penances we've been doing. Should have kind of, you know, it's like cleaning the house, right? You're cleaning, and then you're like, oh gosh, and then you turn around and look back and think, oh, it looks pretty nice in here.
It's getting pretty good.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we're cleaning out our heart, we're cleaning out our soul, we're cleaning out our lives, and we're making more room for the joy of the Lord, and that's really what it's all about. So let's talk about getting that joy in your life today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And tell us, what is getting in the way of having more joy in your life or relationships? Doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter whether it's big or small. If it's in the way, we want to help you move it along so that you can rejoice and experience the grace of the Lord. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections early on in his papacy that showed how creation, salvation history, and the Gospels all reveal God's plan for living a more joyful life and having healthier, holier relationships.
Now, the theology of the body reminds us that there is a big difference between joy and mere happiness. We tend to think that joy is a product of stepping away from life, finding those little ways to enjoy ourselves, or eliminating stress. And while that can be important, the feeling we get from doing this isn't actually joy. It's happiness, and happiness is really good. The problem with it, though, is it's fleeting. Happiness only lasts as long as the pleasure sticks around or that stress stays away. Joy, on the other hand, is the fruit that comes from intentionally trying to do whatever you can do to live a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life every day.
You know, those three qualities are really the key to what psychologists call authentic happiness, or what Christians for centuries have called joy. You know, joy is the quality that allows us to have a deeper sense of rightness and contentment about our lives, even when things aren't going exactly the way we'd like. You know, whether things are going the way we want or not in this particular moment, joy allows us to see that bigger picture, to feel good about where we've been and where we're going. You know, and go back, let's go back to that metaphor I was using about cleaning the house, right? You know, I mean, nobody likes to clean their house. I mean, it's not a lot of fun to dust and move things around and all of that. But if you know, you know, kind of why you're doing it and where you're going with it, you can feel good about it while you're doing it, too. And the same thing is with all of the trials of life, all the difficulties, all the frustrations. If we're able to keep those qualities of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in mind as we approach those problems and address those concerns, we can feel joyful even in the middle of our struggles. You know, because a joyful person is able to find meaning in whatever they're going through. They look for ways to use their experiences, good or bad, to draw people closer to them and draw closer to the people that they love. And they try hard to see everything they go through as an opportunity to learn something or become a better, stronger, healthier version of themselves. You know, other people endure life. They white-knuckle their way through the problems they face. Joyful people live life and learn from their struggles. You know, again, unlike Lisa was pointing out, unlike happiness, because joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, you can't pursue joy directly. You can't just wake up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to be more joyful today. You have to do it by pursuing those things that make joy happen. Like, you know, getting the fruit on a tree. You have to water the tree. You can't just command fruit to appear on the tree. You got to fertilize the tree. You got to weed around the tree and all that. Well, cultivating joy means dedicating yourself to a life of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, regardless of your circumstances.
Well, I want to be very clear here, because some people, especially people who might be feeling like they're struggling or feeling a bit down today, can be like, oh, well, that means as a Catholic or a Christian, I'm not allowed to be happy. No, when you pursue joy, you pursue those moments of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Your happiness, those temporary things that happen because the circumstances work out well, or you're avoiding stress, or whatever is bringing you those moments of happiness, when they are set in a setting of pursuing meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, your happiness actually lasts longer. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I am happy when I just, you know, get out and go to a bar, or I'm just, you know, high on exercising, or whatever those things are that for you in particular is a moment of happiness. But when it is set in that setting of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, how much more happy are you literally happy when you are pursuing a truly intimate relationship, say, with your family, with your spouse, with your kids, with the people that you love, where it's not just about, hey, we had a big meal and hung out together, but it's about, no, we got to know each other's hearts. We love each other. We're working for each other's good. Then those moments of happiness are more fulfilling, and they also last longer because you're building on those building blocks of true joy.
Of course, a lot of people tune in right now might just be saying, yeah, that's nice, pop checks, but you don't know my crazy family, or you don't know my difficult life, or you don't know my troubling circumstances. And you know what? We don't. But if you call at 877-573-7825, you can tell us about it, and we can help you find a little more joy, even in the face of those challenging circumstances. Again, the number 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Tell us what's getting in the way of you having more joy in your life or relationships, whether that's personal or emotional struggles, relationship problems. We want to help you find graceful solutions to those obstacles to joy.
Well, it's funny that you're talking about, you know, those struggles with family life. I learned something yesterday that I had not known before, which is that yesterday in the UK and many parts of Europe, it was Mothering Sunday. Okay, it's their version of what we would call Mother's Day here in May. But it originally got linked to Latari Sunday, which was supposed to is this moment of taking a break in Lent from pulling back from the severe austerity and having that moment of hope and joy. And one of the traditions that got linked with Latari Sunday is that workers, people who you know, worked for other people, were given that Sunday to go home and visit their mothers. And that's how, you know, they would take time off from work, visit your mother.
The aristocracy would allow their servants
exactly.
to go home.
Exactly. And I laughed about that, because on the one hand, linking that with Latari Sunday is, yes, give mom joy, go home and see her, or get more joy, go be with your mom who loves you so much. And if you're in a great relationship, that works. But if you're not, it could just be one more penance during Lent. You know, what is it in your relationships that you wish were more joyful, that brought you more peace, more joy, more of feeling good about yourself and that other person? Is there a struggle in those relationships? If you were sent home to your mother or had to hang out with your kids or had to be with that other person because you did, would you feel more joy about it? Or is there something we need to help you overcome so that you can feel more joy? Are there things going on in your emotional life that are just stealing your joy? And you're thinking, if I could just get over the anxiety, if I could just get out of the darkness that I feel, maybe I would feel that joy. Whatever it is that's robbing your joy today, we're here to help you find new skills and the grace of God. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions and calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for the gift of joy, and for reminding us that we can be joyful even in the middle of our struggles by holding on to you and by remembering to lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Even in the face of difficulties, the more we try to make meaningful choices by asking you to teach us how we can make a positive difference in our circumstances or the lives of those around us, how we can respond to those challenges in a way that make our relationships stronger or deeper or healthier, and how we can use our present circumstances to grow into the healthy, holy, healed people that you call us to be. We can learn to lead more joyful lives regardless of what's happening to us. So, Lord, we ask you to help each and every one of your children to be witnesses of joy, to be witnesses to the joy that comes from living in your spirit in good times and in bad, and sickness and in health and all the rest. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and for showing us the path to a more joyful life in you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Joyful, as we take our cue from Laetare Sunday and look at what it takes to have a more joyful life, even in the middle of difficulties, just like we're with yesterday. We were celebrating this joyful Sunday in the middle of our Lenten season. We can be joyful, even in the midst of our difficulties. Let's talk about how to do that today on More to Life. If there's something getting in the way of you being a more joyful person or having more joy in your life or relationships, if you're wrestling with personal or emotional struggles, whether that's anxiety or anger or frustration or disappointment, if you're dealing with relationship problems and you're not sure how to break through those barriers to a closer relationship with someone you care about, or any other issue that's coming between you and a more joyful life, we want to help you make those connections. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, let's take our first question from Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on the Ave Maria Radio app. And she says, my husband fell into a porn addiction while at college, even though we both went to a very Catholic school. He got some help while we were engaged and stopped. But I found out that after 2 years of marriage that I still don't trust him. He just doesn't share much about his feelings or anything. And when I ask him about it or bring it up, anything stressful, he gets angry and then just shuts down and says that I should stop throwing guilt at him. What should I do? We're both faithful Catholics and daily communicants, but this really is robbing my peace and stealing my joy, and I'm afraid for my marriage, and I also feel very lonely. And that's Maria in Virginia.
So, I'm sorry, but in reading that, the one thing that I was confused about was she bringing up the past pornography use, or is she talking about
I
any
think
problem
what she's saying is any problem, especially if she says something to him about the fact that he's shutting down or
okay.
won't talk, and that she just doesn't feel like she completely trusts him, and
sure.
that's stealing her joy.
Well, I mean, so there are two things. One I find often in my marriage counseling work that the couples don't tend to talk about things until they're already stressed out about something. So a problem comes up, they're upset about the problem, and then they want to talk about it. And that's, ironically, kind of the worst time to talk about it because your emotional temperatures are higher. And as soon as the emotional temperature is raised, then literally your brain shuts down and your emotional brain clicks on. And the only thing the emotional brain is concerned with, as opposed to the thinking brain, the only thing the emotional brain is concerned with is either avoiding the problem or pushing everybody out of the way so they can get their way. That's what ends up happening. Your husband shuts down. That means that his emotional temperature is at least at an 8 or a 9 out of 10. And he's well into that place where he can't think through anything at that point. So the reason I'm explaining all this is just to give you a context for why your attempts to talk about it aren't working and to suggest that you can take a different time to talk about it. One of the things that we recommend in many of our books is the idea of creating certain rituals of connection, one of those being talk rituals. Time where every day you kind of check in with each other and talk about, well, what's going on and what's coming up, what do we need to do to handle it, how do we address this together, what can we do to be better partners when these particular problems come up. That's number one. I want you to carve out some time every day, even if it's just 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes, to bring that to God in prayer and say, Lord, we just give you our life today. We give you our marriage, and we ask you to teach us how to respond to the various challenges that we face and help us to be, help us to know your will and to take good care of each other while we're trying to figure out what that will is. Then use that prayer as a springboard for a conversation about whatever's going on that you want to talk about. And if he starts to shut down, just try to remind him, look, I understand this is stressful. I'm on your side, though. And I want to talk about how we can get through this together. How can I support you? What can we do to face this? What do we need to do? So you want to start with that. If you find that that's not working, then what that probably means is that either you or your husband or both are going to need new skills to make this this relationship work overall, and to make this particular challenge go better. And so that's an indication for some good marriage-friendly counseling at that point that will help give you new skills for dealing with things or healing whatever wounds are getting in the way. You know, another reason that people will shut down is because growing up in their families of origin, it wasn't safe to deal with problems for one reason or another, but perhaps because the parents were overreactive, or we just didn't talk in the household, or you know, if it was a family, for example, with alcoholism or other serious problems, very often those kinds of families don't ever acknowledge problems. We just push through.
And so, if somebody who has gone through a porn addiction may have been raised in those circumstances, and that's why he was looking for some kind of self-medication in that particular addiction. So, and I'm glad that he got help while you guys were in college and engaged, but as with any addiction, ongoing help and support for recovery is really important. I mean, if he had an alcohol or drug addiction, you wouldn't say, well, he went to rehab for, you know, a little while and he got out and now he's doing absolutely nothing to keep himself sober, but that's okay, he's healed. He'd have to continue to go to meetings and handle the situation and get the support he needs so that he could not just be a dry drunk, but really healed and recovering.
Well, and
this
and
is
best,
very much the same situation.
Yeah, and the best treatment for ongoing treatment for pornography addictions is some kind of relationship counseling, because that person is often struggling to know how to get the intimacy, I don't mean sexual intimacy, I just mean intimacy in general, out of the relationships that they're in. So you can learn more about our counseling services at CatholicCounselors.com. In fact, we have programs for pornography recovery. We have a group called Connected, and also a program for spouses called Reconnected. You can check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. We got to go to break with that. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about leading a happier life on our show titled Joyful. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll be back in a minute.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Want a better family life this Lent? Join the Catholic Home 40 Days for Families Challenge.
Lent calls us to do more to share God's love with others, and there's no better place to start than our families, our domestic churches.
Go to CatholicHOM.com and use the promo code AVE for 50% off the first month of your premium membership to Catholic Home. That's Catholic HOM. It stands for Catholic Households on Mission.
Your premium membership to Catholic Home gives you access to all the personalized expert support and creative resources you need to celebrate a more loving, faithful Catholic family life.
Download the premium version of the Catholic HOM app today. Take up the Catholic Home 40 Days for Families Challenge and discover how God wants to transform your family life this Lent for good. Learn more at CatholicHOM.com.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into a suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
And click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USCCB.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today we're talking about joy on More to Life, how to get more of it. And joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, an author and illustrator. He's also the co-host with Dominican Father Gabriel Toretta of the Faith and Arts podcast, Created Things. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks for having me.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about simple ways to increase your experience of our experience of meaning, even in difficult times.
Yeah, in my experience, joy in suffering or in any other case really rests in the ability to experience some deeper sense of meaning. Right, I had a psych mentor who always used to say, human beings can get through pretty much anything if they can find meaning in it. And that's true. That said, when we're in kind of that place of suffering and the desolations and the anxieties and the depression that can often come with those challenges, a lot of the solutions that our brains will often jump to are quite grandiose. Right. So, for example, if I'm feeling pretty bad about my body, I might suddenly take on some crazy diet and say, I'm going to work out every single day. Right. Or I'm going to enlist in a bunch of programs if I'm sad about a marriage and, buy 25 different books on Amazon. Right. And I'm not saying that any of those things are objectively bad per se, but I am saying that they're quite grandiose to find any kind of meaning in immediately, and therefore they're kind of impossible to find any kind of immediate sense of joy in. And so what I recommend alternatively to people is to say, hey, maybe I'm going to make that long-term goal, sure, fine, but for right now, what can I do in the next 10 minutes that's concrete, that's small, that's observable, that can move me closer to whatever that goal is, right? So maybe that looks like if I am struggling with my body, maybe that looks like, hey, I'm just going to take a walk right now for 3 minutes outside between meetings, right? Maybe if I'm struggling with my relationship, I'm going to text that person just that I love them and I'm thinking about them, right? Those kinds of concrete, small actions are the ones that we can really find genuine meaning in, and then, by extension, start to feel proud of ourselves for having done.
And I want to thank you for really showing how simple it is to lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, even in those challenging situations. Because the more we do those little things and the little opportunities God gives us, the more we can experience joy, even in the middle of our challenges. And if folks would like to learn more about Jacob's good work, they can go to CatholicCounselors.com and check it out. And we're taking your calls right now about leading a more joyful life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We'll be taking more of your calls when More to Life continues right after the break.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit GlassDoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your pain. Oh, yeah!
Ave Maria Mutual Funds does not invest in companies engaged in abortion, pornography, embryonic stem cell research, and those making corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Ave Maria Mutual Funds has a zero-tolerance policy that helps ensure investments align with moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds may be contacted at 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFunds.com, a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio.
God has blessed us with wonderful faith, great family and friends, and nature. Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram invites you to get out and enjoy our beautiful Michigan outdoors with their award-winning lineup of new Jeeps, including the Jeep Compass, Jeep Grand Cherokee, and Jeep Cherokee. Right now, during the Jeep Celebration event, you can lease a new Jeep Compass starting at only $295 per month. The Jeep Celebration event is going on all month long at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Don't miss the savings. Visit them online at PinckneyChrysler.com for more information today.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Nothing taxes our relationship with our adult kids as much as the expectation that they should obey us. As parents, we remember when our children were little and we could get away with, because I said so,
Although we don't recommend that approach at any stage, we guarantee that you will fail to communicate with your adult children if you demand obedience. The Catechism of the Catholic Church notes, obedience towards parents ceases with the emancipation of our children. Certainly, our children owe us their respect, just as any human being owes respect to others in a relationship. But our adult children aren't obliged to do what we say. Catholic parents are still called to help our adult kids lead godly adult lives, but we're called to do it as mentors and witnesses, not masters and commanders. To learn how you can have a healthy mentoring relationship with your adult kids, check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're taking our cue from Laetare Sunday and talking about joy. How can we experience more joy in our lives, even in the middle of difficulties? So if you are struggling with personal or emotional difficulties, relationship problems, or you name it, we want to help you find solutions to the obstacles coming between you and a more joyful life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll talk about having more joy.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
Thank you. Yeah, I think what I'm experiencing, frustration and lack of joy, is I've been married 32 years, and I am growing spiritually in my relationship with the Lord, and I find that my husband and I are on two different spaces. He's happy going to church on Sundays, where I, you know, get up and watch the Mass in the morning, say my rosary, say my prayers. I do everything to try to get closer to the Lord. And he's not. He just says, you do your thing, let me do my thing. You know, and I
so
want
Maria,
to walk.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question on this. Okay, a couple of questions, actually. First of all, let's take it off religion for just a second, because I want to see if this is a problem that's just tied to, you know, this, or if there's something else going on here too. If it came to anything else, let's say you had some other interest, okay, in anything, and you tried to share it with him. Would he be open to sharing that with you, or would he say the same thing? Oh, you know, that's for you, that's not for me, unless he was interested in it.
No, we're pretty much on the same page as far as the other things that we like to do together.
But I'm asking, so if there was something else that you liked that he didn't like and you tried to share it with him, would he be open to that?
Yes, he would.
He would? Okay. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. So I would like you to actually appeal to him on that level, all right? That to be able to say to him, look, you know, honey, this is we share everything else together. And give an example. You know, there was that time when you wanted to share thus and such with me that you really liked, that I wasn't really all that interested in, but because I loved you, I wanted to learn more about it. Or that other time that I tried to share that thing with you that you didn't really like, but because you loved me, you wanted to learn more about it for my sake. Well, this is like that. You know, I love the faith, I love God, and I want to share that with you. And, you know, even if you're not in the same place, that's okay. Let's talk about what you would be willing to do. Maybe you don't want to, maybe he doesn't want to sit through a televised Mass. Maybe he doesn't want to do the whole rosary. As a Catholic, the wonderful thing is there are a billion ways that we can pray and encounter Christ. And so you want to start by asking him, you know, what would you be willing to do if we were going to share the faith a little bit more?
And I wouldn't even use the word willing. I'd just say, so if you don't enjoy watching televised Mass or getting through a rosary, what ways do you want to pray with me? Just add, like, let him have to think about that and introduce that, assuming that because he has come alongside of you in other things before, that he is a man of goodwill. And if he just says, well, just the Mass on Sunday, you can say, well, honey, I love you, and that's great, but I want us to go deeper, and I want us to be spiritually closer and closer in other ways. And then ask the question again. So what ways will you pray with me? and give him some of the control of that.
Now, if he says, well, I don't really want to pray with you. That's your thing. You go ahead and do that. I'm happy for you, but I'm going to go over here. That's where you follow up with the other conversation I started with here, where you say, well, look, this is kind of like one of those things where, you know, like when you tried to share thus and such with me and, you know, I didn't really like it, but I love you, and so I wanted to do it with you too. And look, we came to really enjoy that together. Or that time I came to you and I wanted to share thus and such with you, and it wasn't really your thing, but because you love me, we started to do it, and now we really like that together. This is like that. This is a part of my life that's really important, and it makes me sad to not be able to share it with you in some way. So I need us to figure out a way to share this. What can we do? Now, we have a book, by the way, called Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, that you guys could go through together. And, read it. The chapters are short. The book is short. But what it talks about is how to create a really vital marital spirituality where you're putting God in the middle of your relationship in every part, from giving him your day to turning to him for help on solving problems or making decisions together. It offers lots of different ways to pray as a pray as a couple together. And I think it'll really open both of your eyes up to how our faith can really help take you to a deeper place in your relationship.
The other thing I'm going to really suggest is to not make this so stressful. You know, definitely say and do the things we're saying here, but jumping into, if somebody is not vibrantly being moved by the Holy Spirit on their own, jumping into a full rosary, jumping into watching the Mass every morning, that can be a little disconcerting. But what's not disconcerting is your wife just holding you in the morning when you wake up and saying, Lord, please bless my husband today. Help me be a great wife to him. Help me to show him how much you love him and how much I love him. You know, bless the things that he's doing today, and then enumerate some of them that you know he's going through, and just say, please keep him happy and healthy and bless him in all he does. Amen. Guess what? You just prayed for him in a way that makes sense to him and lets him know he's loved. And you're inviting him to do the same for you. You know, taking little moments to pray throughout the day that isn't so formal or so long. It might just be a matter of he doesn't have the time. His mind is going in a million different directions on what he has to do in the day, and he feels like he doesn't have that time for that. So beginning to have that prayer life with him that's moments throughout the day when you're praying for what's really going on in his heart and mind, and letting him know that you love him and you're praying for him, and opening him up to that spiritual experience with you that doesn't feel quite so weighted at first might also be a great way in. So take that, all of that we're saying to you today, to the Holy Spirit, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you on how to get closer to your husband's heart and soul.
Now, as just one last point I'll leave you with, I began this whole thing by asking, if it was something else that you tried to share with him that you liked but he didn't, would he be receptive to that? And you said yes, he would. If you or any of our other listeners are in the situation where you get off the call and you say, yeah, well, now that I think about it, that's not really true.
Yeah, we just kind of always did what he liked to do, so it seems great, the relationship seems fine, and this is really the first time.
I was always happy to go along.
Exactly.
But with this, I'm not as
matters to me.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then it's not really a religion problem. It's more of a respect issue. Like, so for example, if Lisa comes to me and says, hey, I really love widgets, and I couldn't care less about widgets, but I love her, right? So I respect her enough to want to find the goodness and the truth and the beauty of widgets. The same thing would be true with that or anything else, including faith. And if you're in a position where, anytime you love something or something is important to you but it's not important to your husband and he doesn't want to participate in that because it's not valuable to him, well, that's not a religion problem, that's a respect problem. And that's a more pervasive issue in a marriage that almost always requires some kind of marital counseling. So you're not endorsing that problem, but for other listeners who are in that situation, I want them to understand what the situation really is.
And I want to be very clear here. When we say that would require marriage counseling, that doesn't mean knock down, drag out fights. That doesn't mean, dismantling your marriage anyway. That means it's a learned skill. It's a new thing, and just like you break in anything new, even a new pair of shoes, it lets you learn how to do that bit by bit. So it doesn't do damage to the relationship. It just blesses the relationship and helps it grow stronger and better.
All right. So, Maria, if again, the name of that book, Praying for and with your spouse, the way to deeper love. Praying for and with your spouse, the way to deeper love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. All right, we are continuing to take your calls about joy today on More to Life, and we're asking, what's getting in the way of you having a more joyful life or relationships? Whether you're dealing with personal or emotional struggles, relationship problems, other life issues that are making it hard for you to be the joyful person or live the joyful life you'd like to have, let's talk about how to get those obstacles out of the way and start experiencing the joy of the Lord. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out for our break, it's time for our scripture today, which comes to us from Romans chapter 14, verse 17.
For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
And again, there's the distinction that we were talking about earlier between happiness and joy. You know, happiness is the experience of pleasurable things and the avoidance of stress or the elimination of stress. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. You know, I mean, God made food and drink, and he made peaceful times, and even Jesus stepped away from the crowds, right, to get some alone time. There's nothing wrong with all of that. But joy is all about pursuing that righteousness and that peace of the Holy Spirit, which comes to us from leaning into those three qualities we've been talking about through the whole show: meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Asking in any situation, you know, meaningfulness, how can I use my gifts and talents to make a small positive difference? You know, like Jacob was talking about in his segment, you know, in the next 10 minutes, what's one small thing I could do to make a tiny positive impact on this problem I'm wrestling with? Intimacy, how can I use this situation to make my relationship stronger, healthier, or deeper in some way? And virtue, how can I use this situation to become a healthier, stronger, godlier person? You know, so the world is my gym, if you will. Right. And the more we're able to do that, the more we experience the joy of the Lord, even in difficult times. But it's not always easy to do. So let's talk it out and find some ways to help you experience a more joyful life. When More to Life continues after the break at 877-573-7825. Join the conversation. Once again, 877-573-7825. We're committed to helping you have a more joyful day and a more joyful life. More when we come back after the break.
This is Dr. Henry Russell. St. Augustine's HEP is Michigan's original and authentic Catholic classical liberal arts program, helping families educate for over 17 years. Classical education teaches how everything humans can know fits together in a coherent image of God's universe and how He wants us to live in it. From grades 1 through 12, meeting 1 to 3 days a week, St. Augustine's provides the backbone of true education. Spaces are open at our South Lyon site at St. Joseph's Parish, as well as at Ann Arbor's Old St. Patrick's and Temperance. To learn more, visit staugustineshep.com. That's staugustineshep.com. Or call 734-276-5629.
The following is a medical moment.
Hi, I'm Bobby Schimmler, brother of Terry Schiavo. In 2005, my sister experienced a brain injury, leaving her unable to speak for herself and make her own decisions regarding medical care. Since she had not established a healthcare agent by creating a healthcare durable power of attorney, the courts decided to leave the medical decisions to Michael, Terry's husband. Because of this, Michael was able to remove Terry's food and water, dehydrating and starving her to death by court order. There are many reasons why someone may need a feeding tube, such as an illness or injury, that leaves a patient with difficulty swallowing. Usually, feeding tubes are short-term solutions until the patient can swallow on their own. St. Pope John Paul II clarified that food and water by tube is basic care owed to patients and not a medical act. We never know when you or a loved one may be faced with an injury. I urge you to have a conversation with your family and to identify a healthcare agent to make sure your life wishes are known, and to take the step of finalizing a healthcare power of attorney. It could very well save your lives.
This medical moment brought to you by MyLifeAngels.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about joy as we help you remove the obstacles in your life or relationships that are getting in the way of leading a more joyful life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Tom, who's listening to EWTN Radio and on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Tom. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, I'm coming off of benzodiazepine drugs for sleeping. And I'm going to Mass probably as long as I can remember. I'm 86. I go to Mass every morning, regardless how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I was reading in the book yesterday, Eckhart Tolle's book, and I didn't have to really read it because I knew it was true already, because Father John Ricardo mentions it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How do you attain joy by leaving everything to Christ? In other words, you surrender your complete life to Christ. Now, I just came back from morning Mass, and I say the rosary and do those things, but is not, do you have to do it every day, think about the words of Christ, like when I'm on the in the gym, on the treadmill?
Sure. So, Tom, let me just ask you, just to clarify, because you started by talking about the benzodiazepines and the withdrawal from that. Are you asking about that at all, or are you
I'm asking about, because in the process of doing that,
uh-huh,
it's tough, and your mind wanders and you get anxious. There's a lot of anxiety involved, and I want to leave this insomnia problem with the Lord. I want to rely on God and surrender. Say this, I can't handle this. You've got to do it, Lord.
Okay, so let's talk. That's a great question. So let's talk about what that means in the situation. So, there's a sense that a lot of people have that surrendering everything to the Lord means basically not allowing themselves to have any desires, to not have any concerns, to not have any anything, right? It's just, okay, Lord, I'm this blank page, and, you know, you do with me what you will.
And sometimes we even get that image from movies we've watched that have shown us what, say, monastic life is like, right? We, you know, when we look at movies, or especially, you know, the good old ones, where we see people who are living a monastic life and therefore, you know, all they have to do is pray all day, we think, oh, we as lay people in a life where we do have to pay our bills, we do have to do things. Right. We should have the same kind of release to Jesus, which often means people think they shouldn't even have to worry about paying their bills. But it's a very different situation for those of us who are lay people.
Well, the theology of the body in particular kind of reminds us that God created us, each and every one of us, as a unique and unrefutable person with specific desires, with specific needs, with specific concerns. And so he doesn't expect us to give those things up. What he expects us to do is give them to him and say, Lord, teach us how to respond to these things. So I have this desire, for example, in your case, for a good night's sleep, but it's not working. You know, so Lord, teach me how to approach this, you know, because I don't want to be, you know, because especially when it comes to insomnia, right? The real problem with insomnia is the anxiety that we put ourselves through, that, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get enough sleep. Now, I'm not saying that not sleeping well isn't stressful. It certainly is, and I've had that experience myself.
Yes, we all have.
And it's very frustrating. But when we become anxious about not sleeping, then the problem compounds itself, because then it's, oh my gosh, I hope I'm going to sleep well tonight, and what if I don't sleep well tonight? And we catastrophize that experience instead of just saying, you know what, it's going to stink if I don't get enough sleep, but I'll just be a little tired, and maybe I'll have to take an extra nap, or maybe I'll have to change my pace a little bit, or what, you know. And I'm not saying it's that simple. But you see what I'm saying? It's like you're instead surrendering that problem to Jesus means, all right, it's 4:00 in the morning, and I'm awake. Lord, what do you want me to do with this?
This is very much...
How can I respond to this in a way that will glorify you and help me be my best self? Instead of worrying about, oh gosh, I got to force myself to get back to sleep. Oh my gosh.
And that becomes sort of the idol of the moment. Sleep is the idol of the moment. Whereas, as we were talking about earlier, with Jacob Flores, Pop Check, he was saying, what is one small thing we can do in the next 10 minutes? So as you're laying there, you know, and you're struggling with, say, Lord, you know, I need sleep. But is there something else you need me to do right now? Do you need me to just be lying here and saying a rosary for somebody's needs that is on my heart? Do you need me to get up and tidy up my space and try again in an hour? Do you need me to handle something that is relational? Should I be writing down a plan to get closer to my kid or, you know, one of the people in my life? If you're turning it over to God, it's not just saying, all right, Lord, I give it to you. I'm just going to lay here and not sleep and worry about not sleeping, but try to give it to you. You're really saying, Lord, in this moment, guide what I should be doing. Should I be up and doing something? Should I be praying? Is there something else you have me doing? And I'm going to trust in you that somewhere along the line today, I will get the rest that I need.
You know, and this, you know, to go to your broader question, you know, about what you heard from Father Ricardo and what you've read in some other spiritual books, you know, about the total surrender to Jesus. Again, it doesn't mean pretending we're a blank slate and that we don't have any desires or don't have any needs or don't have any concerns, because God gave us those things. He built those things into us. What it means is, in the face of those desires or those needs or those concerns or those feelings, it means going to God in every situation and saying, you know, I don't know anything. I don't know how to live. I don't know how to love. I don't know how to respond in a healthy way to my desires, to my needs, any of it. I accept these things as true that you've given them to me. Teach me how to respond to them, though, in a way that will glorify you, help me be my best self, and help me work for the good of others around me. And yeah, that's an everyday, all day kind of a thing. Like when you're at the gym, and when you're at the restaurant, and when you're sleeping, and when you're awake, you know, the whole that's something that you're doing on an ongoing basis, because you're a disciple, a student of Christ, and you want him to teach you how to deal with all of it.
But I want you to kind of look at this slightly differently, because often we think of prayer as a rigorous thing or a very formal thing. But since you mentioned the idea, you know, I have to give this to God in the gym, I want you to really ask the Lord to give you a sense of the presence of His Holy Spirit all the time, so that you can be talking to Him as your best friend at your elbow all day long. So when you're at the gym, God is with you at the gym, and you can say to Him briefly, hey, you know, Lord, is there somebody here I should be talking to today or smiling at to make their day a little bit better? Which machine should I be on today? You know, where do you want me to go out for a, you know, a refreshment after I'm at the gym? Since I'm going out, please put somebody in my path that I can bless their lives a little bit more. You're just talking with Him because He's your best friend in your mind throughout the day.
And you're not waiting for some major, like, you know, God of the mountain, God coming down from the mountain, you know, to you.
Lightning bolts.
I want you to go to Wendy's instead of McDonald's. You know, it's not that. No, I mean, you know, it's you know, you go with what your gut says after you're praying with that, and you're trusting that the Lord is leading you in those.
You're
things.
Letting Him hone that gut instinct.
Right. And I also, just as an aside, you know, when we talk about this, inevitably I get questions like, well, what if I make the wrong choice? And you know, I mean, it's not like the apocalypse is going to come because you chose the wrong place for breakfast. I mean, relax. Right,
and you're going to trust that God is going to see that we're fallible. He let us be fallible, and if we made a wrong decision or didn't hear Him correctly, He'll correct that in time, because He wants to be that present in our lives.
But it's about the process, right? It's not about getting the answer right. It's about that process of whatever you're going through, bringing it to God and saying, teach me, Lord. And then, you know, trusting that He is teaching you, and as you do what you feel led to do and continue to bring those decisions back to prayer and back to reflection and spiritual direction and whatever other spiritual resources you have. So, Tom, I hope that those suggestions will move you forward and help you get a clearer sense of this. We talk about this a lot in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is really all about how to have that kind of conversation that allows you to discern God's will as you're going about your day. That kind of active contemplative life, where you know you're not just sitting still and listening, but you're going about your day and listening to God by responding to those challenges in a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous way. Again, the name of the book, The Life God Wants You to Have. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But Tom, just one, you mentioned the benzodiazepines, sort of in passing. I will say that they can be long-term addictive, or at least habit-forming, and so it can be, you know, that struggle to get off of those, especially for sleep problems, can be particularly challenging because your body does learn to crave that as a way of getting to sleep. So, if you can tough it out, fine, but don't worry about it. But if you need more support, a group like Narcotics Anonymous, which if you go to NA.org, NA.org, there are local support groups that you could participate in to help you find a meeting and overcome the habit-forming or addictive aspects of the benzo use.
And always be checking with your personal physician when you're doing anything like that, please.
All right, Tom, thank you so much for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program or at CatholicCounselors.com. Again, the name of that book, The Life God Wants You to Have. That's all the time we've got for today's program. And if you would like to learn how to live a more joyful life or have more joyful relationships, check out all the resources we have available for you at CatholicCounselors.com, including learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. That's CatholicCounselors.com to discover more graceful solutions for living an abundant life. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because you know what? With His grace, there really is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.